Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Paranormal Dimensions is fortnightly on Mondays on the Paranormal UK Radio Network.
The instruments here are going crazy.
I think what we've been suspecting all along may already be happening, Doctor.
I'm almost sure of it. Get into your choppers and head north immediately. Don't stop for a thing.
Good day to you. This is Sir Patrick Moore, and you're listening to the Paranormal UK Radio Network, the UK's biggest paranormal radio network, and this is Paranormal Dimensions with David Young.
Hello and welcome to the show. Thank you for the introduction, Sir Patrick. Okay, I'd just like to start the show with saying thank you again for all the emails and messages I've got over the last, months, really, after I stopped doing the show and decided to come back. I've picked a couple out of the hat, actually, emails that I thought I'll just read a couple of bits of it. Otherwise, I can't read all the messages, obviously, because it'll be a whole show of messages, so I can't do that. It says, good evening, David. I'm so pleased you have returned with your show. Monday nights were not the same without your brilliant podcast. Well, I'm not sure about the brilliant, but I look forward to your show every week. You being back on PA UK has made my year. Keep up your good work and please don't ever leave again. Kind regards. Now, and that's Anna Marie Crehan. Well, Anna Marie, thank you very much. I'm so pleased that you find the show that good. I hope you're still listening. I'm sorry it's in every 2 weeks now, not every Monday night, but at least you can listen to it twice now, can't you? Another one was just a brief note to say welcome back to the podcast airways. I loved your most recent show and found your guest Kieran very interesting with a great perspective on the paranormal. I trust that you and family are well and I look forward to hearing many new episodes. And that is regards Stephen Bradshaw, and he's in Southern California. So that just shows that we are going around the world and thank you, Stephen, and I hope you're still listening. And, of course, I do appreciate everybody that wrote in and with kind messages. Thank you all very much. I'm very flattered. Okay, today's guest is Bob Brown. He's a psychic medium, paranormal investigator, healer, and host of Over the Rainbow Show with Beacon of Light Radio. Ever since his childhood, he's had a gift with psychic abilities, and he feels that using his gift to help others is the right way forward to bring everyone together in this world. I do agree with him. I'm sure you'll find him very interesting. So, here we go. Making his first visit to the show, Bob Brown.
Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hello, David. Thank you for inviting me on your wonderful show.
Well, I hope it is a wonderful show. I do get good reports about it. But you do your own show as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, Wednesdays and Fridays. I've been doing it since about 2014.
Yeah, so you're an old hand at it, more than I am, and I've been doing this for about 3 years. In fact, I think it was about 3 years ago I was on your show, wasn't I?
Will have been, yeah.
And, before that, I hadn't had any thoughts about doing my own show. It's just I was sort of, for something sort of led on from other things, I don't know, and I was off of this. But,
well, I think it does sometimes. I started on Block Talk Radio where you did everything yourself.
Right.
It was based in America, but unfortunately, you couldn't hardly get anybody on Skype. They had to phone you. So it's very rare you got anybody from England phoning in.
Yeah. Yeah, because I suppose really Skype's only sort of kind of really more taken off over the last, I would say, probably a couple of years more or so, hasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah.
It was one of those things that was sort of not really working properly in the early days. But I think it's pretty good now. Now your show is called Over the Rainbow, isn't it? How did you come up with that name?
It's one of those things. A friend of mine called Vanda Gusman, she's an American singer, 60s, 70s, 80s. She had her own radio show called Beautiful Something. I can't remember now. Going up there, yeah.
Well, Rainbow,
went on her show a few times giving readings.
Oh.
And she said to me once, out of the blue, she said, right, tomorrow night, because she moved from America to Germany, to Frankfurt, because she'd been a druggie and all different sorts in her life.
Mm.
And she said, right, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, I want you to sign in and everything and do your own show. So I did. And it frightened the daylight out of me.
Yeah,
he said, it's just first, me and you talking. I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to say, your first few shows, it was a bit nervy, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And then you try and get the concept and how it works and who you interview. Hmm. It's all about interviewing people and getting to know how to do it.
Yeah, I know, but the first few, I was really sort of nervous, and I've been set up to do like 2-hour shows, and they were quite a struggle to be, you know.
I interviewed a guy in America, a young lad. He wrote his own music and everything.
Oh, right.
And every question I gave him, he just went, yeah.
Oh, dear.
This is going to be a long show. So I talked more about myself and what he did.
Yeah. Well, this is what this show is all about, for you to talk about yourself. So.
Going back when I was a young lad, I think I was about 5 or 6 years old, I used to have imaginary friends. And my mother she told me later on in life, she said, yeah, I'd leave you in my room on your own and you'd be talking to somebody. And I used to say, who is it? She said, oh, it's my friend who I play with most days. Now, I vaguely remember seeing a young lad sat across from me. Mother couldn't see him, but I could see him. And it was so strange. As time went on, my mum says, I heard us talking to my dad, I think there's something wrong with that lad. What the hell do you mean? He's talking. He looks as though he's talking to himself. And as things went on, you know, I wasn't the brightest in the bunch at school anyway. But I just got on with life, and I thought I was very spiritual then. My mum talked about my grandma reading tea leaves. And she wasn't really into all that. And my ears used to twig up then when she started talking about, and she used to do herbs and heal people. She were a healer as well, hands-on healer, as they call them in them days. And then things, for some unknown reason, you just get on with life. I grew up, played rugby, played cricket, football, played a bit of tennis, things like that. And then you got a job, you went out and got boozed up and did different things. And then later on in life, I think, it must have been over 20 years ago, I got back into spiritualism in a strange way. I sat in sauna once and this lady came to me. She said, my husband's died. You haven't got a message for him. So I used to give the odd messages, not all the time. And she said, he's died last week. I said, well, there'll only be a time when he'll come through when he's ready. She said, do you know Spiritual Church? I said, funny enough, somebody was telling me the other day, there's one on Victoria Road in Britt. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll meet you outside and I'll take you in. And if you sit at one side and I'll sit at the other side, and if you get a message, you can tell me after if it's accurate or not. And she got a message and everything like that. And she said, oh, I like coming here. I said, well, you'll meet friends here. And that's where you get in contact with. Anyway, a good friend of mine called Jeannie Fletcher used to go. He's a good psychic medium. He's still doing it today. And it was him, believe it or not, what introduced me to Paul Sinclair.
Oh, right. I was going to ask you about that, actually.
Yeah, what happened was, Paul must go out early shopping, and he must have bumped into Jeannie. And Jeannie said, oh, a good friend of mine's a medium, and he works in a charity shop called Sense on Promenade. So he came in to see me then, Paul did, and said, introduced himself. He said, oh, I'm Paul Sinclair, you know. I do a research into UFOs. And Jeannie knew I was interested in the paranormal then as well, and UFOs. So he arranged then to take me out, and I was living down at South Shore then. So it's quite a way out. I haven't got transport, so Paul would have to come and pick me up, take me other side of town, 3 or 4 miles, and drop me back off again. I think sometimes in life, you get ready to meet people, you know you're going to get on well with them.
Yeah, actually, that is actually very true. That's come up a few times on this show, and probably yours as well, that you do seem to get guided into certain situations, don't you?
Towards
people.
Yeah, you do get guided, and I think we was meant to meet, me and Paul, for some unknown reason, we was meant to meet and do a lot of work together.
Mm.
And so, you know, we started to go out a little bit then. And then, unfortunately, where I lived on camp, I've been there 17 years. It changed hands a few times. People bought it out and this and that. So not giving you another license. You just haven't got another council tax bill. You're supposed to have two. One for your normal address and one for there. And I thought, you know, we're living in the 20th century and you can't even live somewhere. But if somebody from abroad came over, they were given what a chalet to live in. So I had to put it up for sale and somebody bought it. Yeah, so that's how me and Paul met. He came into the shop. We had a chat about things, about UFOs. And I was doing a little bit of paranormal work at that time. I joined a group they joined me. They wanted me to be with them. And we went to do a pub in Old Town in Brigleyton called the Star Inn. And it dates back to the 15th century. And they wanted me to go up there and split into groups and go around all these different rooms and pick things up. I picked loads of things up. I'm not being begetted, like.
It is what it is, isn't it?
I picked things up about somebody had done himself in there. The problem was he was disabled and took Mickey out of quite regularly and he hung himself in the courtyard at the back. Anyway, I told him all this story and he got his papers and everything. Local paper, should I say. And then I went more away from that and started going with Paul then and started to go to Benton quite a bit then in 2017, I think it was, or 16. And it's strange. I love Benton. I wish I could afford to buy some land up there. I think there's areas around the world, pockets of areas around the world where things happen, like Skinwalker and Frog Place and lots of different areas, pockets, where things happen. And they happen for a reason. Like when the RAF base was there, I'll just nip onto that a minute. Me and Paul interviewed a guy at Caton Bay. It was like meeting at a Cold War. He parked at the top of the road. It's an old road what used to lead to Scarborough. And halfway up, it goes into a field, and that's it. Don't go any further. He parked at the top, we parked at the bottom, And I think it was October at the time, because it was really frosty. And we met in middle, and Paul said, we're meeting this guy today because he used to work on the RAF base. Anyway, we met him, and he went, have you got your phones on you? I said, well, I have, and Paul has. He said, I want them. I don't want recording. I said, oh, that's a bit strange. So he took his phones off us, put them in his car, and then we walked for a bit. And I said to Paul, oh, it's cold out here. Why don't we go sit in your car and interview him? And he said, anyway, we went in the car, sat in the car, and he said, so Paul said, you know, what were your job on RAF base then? He said, my job, I think he said he was 18 at the time, my job was to work nights, and my job was to go out on the night time with a camera and take photos of strange objects.
Oh, really?
How strange is that? Mm. To say something like that?
Yeah, it's actually, you'd be given a job of that, yeah.
You know, to say, that is my role, I'm getting paid for that and everything, and my job is to just go out on the night, take these photos. So we're trying to get into him and say, well, what kind of things? He said, well, I can only tell you that there's 1, 2, and 3. So I thought, what's he on about 1, 2, and 3? He's on about aliens, type of aliens, what come through at Bempton.
All right, yeah.
You know, like through a portal.
Yeah.
And it just makes you wonder why the base was there.
Hmm.
On top of a cliff in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I guess we ought to explain that the area you're talking about is, you know, for our international listeners, it's like East Yorkshire, isn't it? It's right on the coast of England.
It's a bird sanctuary, David, as well.
Yeah.
It's a bird sanctuary. And it's quite famous, really, for different birds there, all different sorts of birds.
Hmm.
And so during summer, it's crowded with people, but in winter, it's very quiet.
Mm.
Yeah, so he was talking, he was telling us about 1, 2, and 3 and all this. And Paul had been going up on his own, and this guy said, Matt, I want to tell you from now on, you don't go up on your own anymore, you two. You're being watched. Says, well, how do you mean we've been watched? There's people out there watching you all the time, so just be careful in future. He didn't give much away about the base itself, because there's loads of tunnels all over the place underneath there.
Yeah, that's what we hear about, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, allegedly there's supposed to be a tunnel from there to Dane's Dyke.
Wow.
And that is a long way. You know, in theory, but mind you saying that, we were on top of cliffs once, me and Paul, and we heard like thunder, but it was coming below us, as though something had fallen over underneath us. Not on the side of the cliff or going into the sea, but underneath in the tunnels. Well, we don't know if there was tunnels underneath there, but it just makes you wonder sometimes.
It does, yeah. I think we ought to point out at this point that the Paul Sinclair you're talking about, he's a writer. He's written 5 books, I believe it is. It's Truth Proof.
Truth Proof, yeah.
2, 3, and 4. And he's also got Night People. So just so
it's... That's right.
So everyone knows who we're talking about. And Paul Sinclair's been on this show a couple of times as well. So, you know, just thought I'd better clear it up, just in case someone's sitting there wondering, who's this Paul Sinclair? You know what it's like.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
I know he's famous, but there might be a few people that don't know who he is.
About myself a little bit as well. When I moved into Paul's flat, he's down in the bottom, and then we've got somebody in the middle flat, and I'm in the top flat. When Paul first bought the house, there was a knock at his door, and it was Tom Willis. He's right. The exorcist of Great Britain at that time.
Oh, right.
And he knocked on his door, and Paul went, yeah, can I help you? He said, yeah, I've come to clear your house. Paul went, oh, I just moved in. And he got four daughters.
Yeah.
So Paul let him in, and he said, where is it then? Where's all these things happening? He said, in the tub, where my lounge is now.
Well.
So kids came up, and he was telling them, so he said, I think you want to go, Tom. I don't want you coming back to this house ever again. It was frightening the girls.
Hmm. I mean, was there any was anything happening?
Well, believe it or not, when he bought the house, it was an old lady, but he found loads of letters, and it looked like they were into spiritualism.
Wow.
And he said, believe it or not, there were bags and bags and bags, and I burned them all. And he said, I wish I'd never done that.
Yeah.
Because there might have been some in them. What been in, happening in the
yeah,
house.
Yeah, some information. Yeah, exactly.
Because Paul has seen in the top room where I am now, before he did all of it out, he was laid there one night because he comes from South Yorkshire, so travelled over here weekends to work on the house while Mary stopped at home. And he was laid there one night and he said, I'm looking home and I thought, them spingles are going really bright in colour. And he said, I just can't believe what I'm seeing. And he said, I thought I saw an alien. And thought, you know, this is strange in this house here. And it's not first time he's seen aliens downstairs, but since then, since I've moved in, I've had things jumping on my bed at night time. And they felt like children as yeah. such, but I don't know, because as soon as I open my eyes again, they're gone. But I could feel them jumping on the bed. And I mean, it didn't feel like one person. It felt like quite a few people jumping on it.
Right.
And
I know Paul said something.
And then you're thinking, what the hell's that? Is it true what they're saying about this flat where I am? And then I've seen shadows. I saw a shadow come out of that wall in front of the TV, quite tall, and go into the wall. And I saw it with my eyes, plain eyes in daylight. And then other things, I was laid in a recliner and I'm looking at the mirror and an alien head appeared in it. And Paul went, you what? I said, yeah, an alien head appeared in the mirror. And I'm not thinking, logically, I'm thinking, how can that get in that mirror? But that, it's got to be at the back of me. So my chair's against the wall, so it's got to be above the wall to put his head in the mirror.
Yeah, can I jump in there, Bob? So you say an alien head. Now, have you got a description for that? Is it like a grey or a reptilian?
No, it's like an alien, like a grey head. But it's more roundish and but quite big. In a, how can I say, more oval type thing. And I'm looking, I think, what's that doing here? And I just winked my eyes, it had gone. And I thought, well, I'm wide awake. How can that be? So I get out and recline and I look in the mirror. I'm just thinking, well, I'm expecting it to be mirror, still a mirror, but that's got to be behind me because the recliner is lower than the mirror. I can see in the mirror when I'm down. So I measured it. It was 5'8" at the back of me on the wall. And then you think, well, how can that be then? Am I imagining it? And I thought, well, I can't be. I've seen it. And it just makes you wonder what's happening in this house. Why does things appear? Like things move for me as well. I put some things down and they're moving to another room. I'm not bothered about spirit that way because I know my mum's around me sometimes and she moves things and things like that. But and then I had Andrew Collins on my show 21 minutes in. We didn't realise until later a voice came through and Andrew was talking about interdimensional beings and things. And this voice came through and said, explain it.
What?
As plain as daylight. Paul was sat next to me in the show. We asked someday Mick Park, who works with Robbie Williams, to have a look at it. And he said, well, it's not coming from the studio. It's not coming from Andrew's end. It's coming from where you sit.
Well.
In this room.
Hmm.
And you could hear it plain as daylight. And, you know, it threw us all. How can that be? How can a voice come out of that? Or was it a back of us? And, but it sounded as though it was going through speakers.
So when that Tom Willis turned up, how did he actually know the place was haunted or possessed or whatever you want to call it?
What, about this house?
Hmm.
I don't know. You know, Paul said to me later, he said, God, I wish they'd never throw them letters away now.
Hmm.
I didn't think at the time. I thought, oh, I'll get rid of them rubbish.
That's what I mean. I mean, how would this Tom Willis know about it?
Well, I think it must have been before.
Yeah, he must have been summoned, maybe.
Or
yeah.
Somebody's told him about the house. Or he knew the lady who had the house.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You know, there's a question mark there,
like
isn't
that.
It?
And yeah. Things still happen today.
Hmm.
Lights appear. And then I was going in the kitchen once and I was going to get some scones. Well, just freshly made, and a voice came out of a drawer and said, you were like that. And I thought, I must be going bonkers here. I must be going crackers. How can a voice come out of a drawer and say, read my mind?
Yeah.
I don't get it, David.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're all
going mad.
Yeah, the first thing would be to say, am I going mad, isn't it? But, I mean, I've met you, I know you're not mad. But does it still go through your mind that you might be imagining it, or are you actually positive that it's happening? I'm sorry, I'm not questioning you.
No.
Just wondering about how you feel about it.
Well, David, yeah, believe it or not, I think what I'm seeing, I'm not imagining it, I know for a fact I'm not. And it's strange, the other day, last week, a friend of mine who's been on the show had a slight stroke. So I thought, right, I'm going to send him some healing. I shut my eyes, I opened my eyes, and the doctor was at the side of me. He appeared at the side of me in a white coat and everything, and I thought, he's appeared there to tell me that I'm doing a good thing, giving him healing. And I didn't imagine it. He was there. I probably could have touched him. But I just thought, oh, what's he doing here? I thought somebody come through the door, and he hadn't, because my recliner is next to the door, opening. So somebody could have walked in, but I thought, he's all in white.
Hmm. Yeah, that's to give you a message, isn't it?
Well, that's to tell me what I'm doing to send him healing is doing good.
Hmm.
I don't know if you're very spiritual yourself, David, or not.
Yeah, I do believe in spirit. I'm not religious at all, but I do obviously believe in spirit. I know we go to another place. Obviously, Bob, we've spoken to enough people over the years to actually, I know quite a few people, as you do, who I don't feel that I've got any abilities or anything like that.
I think everybody's got the ability to do that, because sometimes your phone might ring. Your landline, yeah. You go, I know that is on that phone.
Yeah. I mean,
driving somewhere, for instance. You might be going on holiday somewhere. You think, I've been through this place before.
Yeah. No, I was about to say, I've had these premonitions when I keep thinking, oh, I've got to phone somebody. And then all of a sudden they'll phone me. You know, it's things like that. Or you might be thinking of a certain record or song or something and it comes on the radio. I've had things like that happen quite a lot, and I have been told, I've mentioned it on the show before, so excuse me if you've heard it before, that I've got healing powers.
I can't see you, but I can see blue around you.
Oh, you can? All right.
That's for healing.
Right, yeah. I mean, I have been told that before, and my hands are always warm. They never get cold.
Yeah, so, I can feel it. Yeah. I just wanted to give you some of them as well. Are you thinking... Spritz just told me this. I'll just give you this, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, go on.
Spritz just told me, but you... Do you want to renew your vows or something?
Renew my vows?
Yeah, your vows, you know, when you got married.
Yeah, no, I haven't been thinking anything like that, no.
Oh, well, you look for that in the future. Something might happen that way.
Right.
Spritz told me anyway. She might mention it to you.
Yeah, it could be that she might think, oh, let's go and do it again or something.
Correct. And then you could tell me in the future.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about, you know, about... When I was talking about, this guy said, watch yourself. There's people watching you. Well, strange enough, me and Paul drove up, I think, the 29th of December 2018. We drove to Bempton, and it was a cold night. We never have windows down when it's frosty. And we parked up as usual, checked all the doors, bump, bump, bump. Went down to seafront, stopped there for 2 hours. Said to Paul, well, it's going to be one of them nights. Let's stop for a bit longer. And it was getting cold and bitter cold. So he said, right, let's go back. We got back. He opens boat, click, click. We put his stuff in. I go around to my left-hand side to get in the car to open it. And he said, oh, you bloody caught bloody seatbelt in the door. And I went, I don't know if I have. So I shut the door and I went, you won't believe it. Wind is down. He said, you what? I said, my side window is flat down. So he got in the car, like, and he said, have you touched any buttons? I said, no. I said, it was locked when we left. So anyway, we were having a discussion about it on way down. And he said, it's bloody cold on my neck. And his window was down at his side. Nothing taken, no alarms went off. We would have heard the alarms from the car park to where we was.
Hmm.
Nothing. Not stolen, nothing. No cars around, nothing.
Very strange. You know,
is it trying to warn you about coming up here? You know, it's just a strange behavior. I just don't get it sometimes.
No, I've got to say that you just reminded me of something. Now this hasn't happened to me for about a year, but my passenger side, that window kept going, went down a couple of times. I park in a car park and I come back and the window was down. But it hasn't happened for well over a year now, so that's strange, isn't it? You think it's strange, because there's some sort of technical
Especially mine being down. I could understand if mine would have went down and I touched the button, but his were halfway down at the back of him.
Yeah. No, I mean, also, if it was a technical fault, he'd be doing it a lot more, wouldn't it? He'd do it all the time.
Well, and it's got a good alarm on it. Mm. If you tried opening it, it goes off. Alarms go off.
Mm.
You know, no, and...
It's just that you saying that reminded me. It's happened to me, I can't say it was a paranormal experience, but it happened, and it was a puzzle. You know, I thought, well, how's that happened?
And then another occasion, Thursday, 12th of September, 2019, went to Bempton as usual. We had a good walk. We sat on this bench overlooking sea, and we were up there for about half an hour, and Paul went, don't look, but there's a Range Rover on top of the hill watching us. And he said, let's see what it does. And it drove on the hill, downside, and then drove at back of us. And we measured it's 30 feet away. And you could hear it crunching, crunch, 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 crunch. And it stopped 30 feet at the back of us, couldn't see in, windows were black. Paul went, don't, whatever happens, let's not do anything. Just say, don't turn round even, because you never know if anybody's going to get out, it don't take 2 minutes to shoot you or anything. You might be exaggerating. Throw you over a cliff. Oh, they've got too near. They've gone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is it. You just don't know, do you?
Well, you don't in them circumstances. You know, you think, bloody hell, fire, what's that? And it stopped there for quite a while. And then we could hear it driving off. Went to the top of the hill and stopped on there for quite ages. Paul went, I'm going to ring Rob up. My mate is a farmer around here. Anyway, rang him up and he went, there should be nobody in that field at all. Who was it, David? We don't know. Was it a warning? Another warning? We just don't know. It's mystifying.
Would it have been the military, do you think?
We don't know. A friend of mine who's a psychic medium in America, Jennifer Fallow, she owns the station where I'm on. Mm. She said it was something to do with government.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, when you can't see in, you know, it's very difficult to see anybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the farmers saying there shouldn't be anyone up there, I mean, who else would be up there apart from the military? Because they would take, you know, they wouldn't listen to any reasoning, would they? They'd just do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. They'd just go up and do it and no messing about at all.
Hmm.
It's just, you think to yourself, you know, what he told us about, you know, we're being watched. Are we being watched?
Yeah.
And then, so much strange really happened. Do you know about Paul got shot at as well?
No, I don't know about that. How long ago was that?
Well, he'd gone on his own on Uddy Cowes Lane. It's at the back of the RAF station. Walking down there with his little dog at the time, minding his own business, went out for a walk, and it went straight past him, not far away from his chest, and into the thing. So he ducked down, like he would anyway, thinking, bloody hell, what am I going to do here? Rang police up and said, Paul said, look, I've been shot at. And he said, so somebody on the other end said, he'd been shot again. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I just don't know. So, and the guy said, well, if it don't happen again, can you ring 111?
What do you think?
You know, while you're dead, yeah. So Paul scattered away, got home, and he wrote a letter to Chief Inspector of Humberside, didn't finish. Said it was terrible. And, you know, so nothing was recorded on that day about his phone call.
That's a bit suspicious as well, isn't it?
Paul's thinking, was it a stray bullet from a farmer, you know, shooting a deer or what? Or he said it was very close to me. It's a good job. There were nobody else with me.
Yeah, if somebody had been standing by his side.
I'd have been with him and walking in front of him. Or,
yeah.
You know, it's quite hard going, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, you're just thinking all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of makes you wonder if when you go out one night, on what you're, you know, these jaunts that you go on with Paul, if someone else could take a pot shot at you at some point, can you? You know, if you're being watched and everything else.
Oh, yeah, we got back, we went down another night. I can't tell you this farmer's name, like, but we, on his way back, Paul went, seen that bloke there? He's next to my car there, and he's got out. And believe it or not, 2 weeks earlier, somebody put some nails in his tyre, Paul's tyre.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, as we went to the corner, we saw him. He got in the car and drove off. At great speed, boom, gone. And I thought, we knew it was. And we thought, well, we'll wait our turn with him. And I thought, was he deliberately going to put some nails under his tyre again?
Mm.
You know, It just makes you wonder sometimes.
Yeah, you know, has Paul written about any of this in his books? I mean, I sort of dive in and out of them occasionally.
I can't remember. I don't think he has. It's what happens when we go to Bempton any time and we see something, I write it in my diary.
Hmm.
And then Paul will say to me, what were that date again? I say, right, I'll just go check. I know he's got a great memory about dates. But sometimes he'll say to me, you know, like, I think it's October 2018, I think, on his way back, we saw a Black Panther cross the road.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, there's a few strange creatures up that way, it seems.
And you believe it or not, 10 seconds earlier, we would have hit it. We would have had it in both. Definitely. We were too busy talking to each other, and it just strode across the road right in front of us. And into Edge, I got out of the bloody car like stupid, going into that bloody Edge. I thought, why am I doing this? It's gone. And it had a massive long tail on it, and it was a Black Panther. No doubt about it. Both seen it in October 28th, I think it was. But, you know, a lot of dog walkers say they've seen it.
Hmm.
No problem at all. They'll go out and, oh, yeah, I've seen that at Bempton Pond. I saw it at Bond drinking water. They just think it's, you know, as though it's just a cat.
Hmm. Well, it's a big cat.
You know, I'll tell you what, we might have talked about these orange balls of light we see in the sky.
Yeah.
Bempton. Well, I remember Paul had talked about this guy called Ziggy. He said he'd seen a spaceship land on the hill. Anyway, we went to pick him up. What happened was one night we were up there, and in the distance I saw this white light, and I thought, somebody's walking. I'm sure somebody's walking. Anyway, got closer and closer, and Paul went, when he gets closer, we better put a torch on him, or else he might think we're jumping him.
Yeah.
So he got closer and put torch, and he said, "Oh, he said, talked about it." So Paul said, "I'll tell you what, why don't we pick you up next week, 7 o'clock, come to Bempton, and we'll film you if that's okay and talk on camera." So Ziggy said, "Right." So, and he said, "I've 50 years on top of the cliffs and never seen anything in my life." He said, "We cast over close and we never look up. So I've never seen these orange lights." So he said, so we set tripod up and everything. We've got lights on, interviewing him. I'm on camera, Paul's interviewing him. And we put everything away, all our camera equipment away, and these orange lights appeared right in front of us. And every time we put us, got his camera out, they went out, and it followed these lights, followed us down for about 10 minutes. Six times he appeared from 10 to 8 to 10 past 8. And Ziggy went, "Is them lights?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "My God." And he's got really interested now. But they've got some intelligence, these lights have, for definite, because they seem to appear when it's somebody new.
What?
Like Jason, I think it's Jason Graves, came from Blackpool. Jason, who does comics and he's an artist.
Yeah, Jason Graves, yeah.
Yeah, he came to Bempton. Paul said, "Jason's coming up tonight. Why don't we go meet him?" I went, "Yeah." We got on the car, walked down to the first bird platform, and he appeared. And he even got one on camera, Jason did, and Paul got him on camera. You know, and you can't say to somebody, "Come up tonight, these orange lights are going to appear for you."
Because
it didn't happen like that.
I should try and have a chat with Jason, because Jason's going to come back on the show again in a few shows' time. So hopefully
yeah, you asking.
This will come up
he
again.
He was over the moon as well because he'd got a decent camera as well. And he said, oh, my God, I said, I can't believe it. Just come on the spur of the moment. And he came. Sometimes he comes with a mate of his, but I think he came on his own that time. And he said, oh, did he come with wife? I can't remember. And he went, out of the blue, I've got one more camera. He's on his life. See, they're orange when you see them in the sky, but when you get them on camera, they're not orange.
No, that's right. Yeah, they would change a bit.
Well, yeah, I
don't know if you remember. I mean, when I was on your show, I think I mentioned about the first big UFO I saw was a big orange orb going across the sky. Do you remember that?
I mean,
I'm sure I would have mentioned it. And I actually tracked a book down by a man named Terry Ray, and it's called The Complete Story of the Worldwide Invasion of the Orange Orbs.
So oh, my God.
So that might be a book you'd like to get a hold of. Yeah, I went hunting to see if there was a book about them. It's in 2014 it was published. I had this Terry Ray on my show, and these orange orbs have been around quite a long time since before I saw it. You know, I saw mine in, I'm not sure if it was 66 or 67 now, it's a bit vague there, but it was around about that time. But it was just like one orange, and it was a big, big orange orb, but it was silent, you know. But, there's got to be a connection with this orange colour, because you do hear about this orange quite a lot.
Yeah, I think we've been up there, and there's been six in a row, and then they've disappeared. I think one night we were up there, and I think they appeared 13 times in a 20-minute spell.
Yeah.
So they have got some sort of intelligence. What is behind them? That is the main thing. Is it just are these lights what appear in front? And when sometimes people see them, they can see them as far as Scarborough, and as far as Hornsey, from Scarborough to Hornsey will be 40 miles in radius.
And I've had a wonder. Do they seem to disappear into the sea as well sometimes?
Yeah, they do, but they just seem to disappear, and then you're waiting then thinking, are they going to appear again? And if they do it four or five or six, seven times, then that's it. We might not even see them for 6 months. You know, so it's a thankless job going up there, but you're always thinking something's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, probably what's happening is you don't go up there every night, do you? So sometimes it's probably happening when you're not up there.
And another thing, David, what we have to stress here is there's 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you can't be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
No, of course.
We're just doing a little bit of time. It might be 2 hours, 3 hours. 4 hours, the odd time we've been up there till midnight.
So you just got to time it right and be lucky, haven't you, sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes. I get that feeling sometimes. I think something's going to show tonight. And other times when I think that, nothing appears. So how can you say things that's going to do that? About that place, you know, Bempton, it's a strange place. You know, 2017, we used to go to this bench. I used to say to Paul, is the eyes on us? There used to be these massive eyes. And I mean, but unfortunately, we didn't have the night vision goggles then. And they used to appear on the side of this hill. And we're looking, I'm thinking, they're there again, Paul. So he used to say, look, you put your torch on it and I'll get a camera out. But we couldn't actually see how big this thing was. All we could see was the eyes. And they weren't a deer or a badger or fox. They were bigger than them. And I wish we would have had the technology we've got today, we'd have seen exactly what it was. You know, and another thing is, it didn't matter what time it was, say we went at 5 or 6 or 7, they were always there waiting. Marvellous, isn't it?
It is. It's strange. Oh, is there anyone else locally up there that sort of keeps a close eye on it, apart from Paul? Does he know anyone
fishing
else?
Fishing lads can fish from October to March when all the birds fly off. So there's quite a few of them now that have got to know Paul and said, look, if we see you, we'll ring you.
Well, I see, yeah.
So they do say to Paul, ring him up and say, look, lights have appeared, if you want to get up.
Yeah, I imagine, because Paul's quite well known in the area now, isn't he? So
yeah, so it's quite nice for people to tell him what they've seen. And I think it's a good thing, really, David.
Well, absolutely.
But you've got people who are up there. I'll tell you a strange story as well. Not long ago, I can't remember when it was. I've got it written down somewhere. Oh, I'll tell you another one about keeping safe. We've been to Speaton one night, driving back about 8 o'clock. We're going down towards Bempton itself, and Paul went, there's a bloody Range Rover at back of us. He's dying to get past us. I can't see in it. And he said, I'm not going to let him. So as you come down this lane, you can go straight on towards Flamborough, or you've got to turn right. And you go down, there's a train track that goes across, and then you go up a slight incline. And it followed us round there, over train track, and round this bend. He said, he's trying to take me now. I said, you are joking. And he overtook us. He was trying to push us into bloody edge, and he nearly turned over right in front of us. Managed to get it back on its heels and drove off at speed. So Paul went, right, come on, let's get after him. We followed him for so bloody long, and then a car bloody pulled out in front of us, didn't it? And he went right down to bomb, threw up traffic lights and vanished completely. I tell you what, that was near saying death. He could have put us in. He could have turned us over, but he could have turned over himself.
Yeah. Did you not get his number? You could have sort of reported him.
No, we didn't. No, unfortunately, we didn't. Trouble is, you know, strange enough, I bought him a camera to put in his car, and we still haven't put it in yet.
Right.
But wouldn't that have been ideal then?
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah.
Registration number, and I think, bloody hell, here we go again. Somebody else are out of runners off bloody road.
Right, well, there you go. That's a lesson for you. Get him to put it in now.
believe it or not, I tell him all the time. We're all right for time anyway.
Yeah, I'll call him tomorrow. I'll say, put that bloody camera in, Paul.
Yeah, I just want to tell you about somewhere else now.
Yeah, I'd be interested. Can I just ask you about that cat that sees a lot up in the area? Do you feel that could be an interdimensional being, or do you think it's actually a cat that's living up there somewhere?
Well, we and Paul have talked about this in the past as well, thinking, is it interdimensional? Because most cats, wherever they go, they do the same run all the time. But say I think it was 1976. Was it 1976 when the law came out? You weren't supposed to keep cats. So a lot of them set loose. But you know, Paul was saying, but a lifespan of a panther is about 17 years. But there's got to be more than one about, isn't there?
Well, you think. I mean, the thing is, if there's something like a panther, it would need somewhere to live. I mean, are there caves and things up that way?
Oh, yeah, I think there is. I know one at Lads had gone further towards Pete and said he found another entrance to get into underground. And he said he just lifted it up and it was there. I think a farmer had been over and cleared the field, and there were another tunnel. You know, a cat could get in there. You know, it just makes you wonder.
It's certainly fascinating, because that's not the only creature that's been seen, is it? There's like a wolf creature as well that's been seen, a werewolf type.
Well, I'll tell you about the werewolf in a minute.
Okay.
We interviewed the guy as well, me and Paul did. Really nice guy as well. Really nice guy. We'd gone down in, I think it was, in lockdown. Paul went, do you fancy a run out? I said, I can't see why. We'll park at our friend's farm, and we walked across the fields, walked down to the seafront, and it's quite steep up there. And we managed to get sat down a little bit and have a look out to sea, and he said, oh, just watch your language, because when you talk, you're talking between some. He says, again, will the dog come in? Anyway, comes down, comes inside of us, he said, are you looking for that sea eagle then? I said, well, not really. We said we're here for other things. And he went, right, I'll see you in a bit. I'm just going for walk dog for an hour. An hour later, he came back and he went, have you seen it then? I said, no. I said, where are you for these? Paul said, these orange lights what appear in the sky. He said, well, I've lived at Reeton and my lounge window overlooks the sea. Never seen anything like that. Anyway, we got talking a little bit, and as we talked about big cats, and he didn't say anything, and I went, you haven't seen any unusual animals about? So he said to his dog, Alf they called it, he had a bit of a beard, this dog, unusual dog, sit. And he said, I want to tell you something. So here we go. I was thinking it was going to be something else. He said, it turned out to be November the 12th, 2019. It was a full moon or some sort of moon. He said, at Reeton Sands, it's a holiday park, but it's got a steep incline going to the beach. He said, I parked up top, walked my dog down to the bottom, turn to your right, you go left, you can walk to Filey, but it's quite a long way. And he said, I'm walking on, and dog's looking. I'm thinking, well, it looks sometimes, if it's a rabbit, it looks in a different way and something else. And I'm thinking, what's it looking at? And it's quite a bit up the cliff. So I got binoculars out, and I thought, he didn't tell us he got binoculars then. It was 2 weeks later when he told us, because we bumped into him. And he said, I'm looking. I thought, what the hell is that? So Paul said, how do you mean? He said, it was crouched down. Then it stood up, and Paul went, you're 6'6". He said, how do you know that? He said, I'm just looking at it. He said, how big do you think this is? He said, 7 foot. And he said, if you ever watch Harry Potter, it's the werewolf off that. And he said, what did you do? He said, just carried on. He said, this creature just ran off. He said, I thought it was a young horse at that time, or a donkey. He said, I didn't think it was a bloody werewolf. And he said, it ran off. And I just carried on walking, went back home, never told my wife, never told any of my friends at all, just you two now. And that's just off the cuff comment saying, any strange animals?
Yeah, that's a weird, isn't it? Well, that's why I said there's a lot of strange creatures seen up that way, it seems.
Well, it does seem to be, David, but the problem is, over, I should say 4 years, there's been about 6 sightings now.
Mm.
We interviewed a couple who've been to, was it North London or South London? I can't remember. They come up for weekend. Didn't know Paul at all. And decided to go for a walk. And thought, come on, let's go out for a little walk. And they walked through the car park. And her last name is Holmes, believe it or not. Went through the car park. And as you go down these steps, it goes to, and the place is called Holmes Gut, believe it or not. And they got down bottom, she said to her, the guy, I don't like it down here, something strange. She said, I don't feel safe. So they walked back up again to the top, and they were looking across on top of a cliff. There's some few outlets what go out, looking, thinking, well, what's that there? That wasn't there before, I'm sure it was. Is it a statue? And the ball floated and thought, I don't know. And Paul said to him, how big do you think it would be if it stood up? He said 7 foot. And he started to move. And it went out of view and downside the cliff and vanished. So they went back home, well, to this lodge, and then came back out later. They were fascinated by it. And then rang Paul up and said, I want to tell you something. I've seen something. So Paul said, can we meet on Sunday morning? And I went to meet them. And they said exactly the same thing, and they don't know each other. If you watch Harry Potter, he's the werewolf of that, with long arms downside.
Very strange. Well, I know Paul's working on a new project at the moment, is he? Something to do with wolves, which I know you can't talk a lot about. So we've got to wait for that project to materialise.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I want to talk about Man in Black.
Yeah.
Yeah, leading up to it, I think it was just September the 13th. Must have been about 9:30 at night. I used to make a drink. And don't forget, I was in this person's house, dock sitting, for a friend. He'd gone away on a cruise for a month. Nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
On a nice property on Cardigan Road. It's about 5 minutes towards seafront. So it would be about 9:30 at night. So I made a drink, watching a bit of TV, and I thought, what the hell's that outside there? And he's got glass doors and curtains at size, and then he's got a veranda out there type thing. And I'm looking out, and I thought, either I'm seeing things or there's a bloody bloke out there with a strange hat on, like a black hat. Mm. And I thought, how's he got over that fence when it's 8 foot tall? So I thought, right, I opened the door. Dog was ready to shoot out because it's a lassie dog. So it likes to always be outside. I opened the other door and I said, get out, go on. Anyway, it was barking and chantering away, and I thought, wait till it comes back in. And I thought, right, in the morning I'll go and look out. And there were no footprints, no nothing. What I found very strange, and very strange at all. And I used to walk the dog in the morning because I worked at a charity shop then. So I had to go walk it for a good hour, and it likes a good run. And I've seen it on two occasions in the morning, I've seen a UFO in the sky. And I kept thinking, that's the same as yesterday morning. It can't be. It's still, but in a different place, because I thought it were a satellite. And it, strange enough, it was blue in colour. Strange.
Yeah, very
good. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it was blue in colour. And I thought, oh, that's a bit strange. I thought, well, it'd be right. And so I've seen quite a few things. And then leading up to that Thursday, every time I walked out on that morning and went into town, I saw it looked like a black car, but it seemed to be in different places. Didn't matter which route I went, it always seemed to be there. And I was thinking, well, you're imagining things. Don't be silly. It's not following you. Why would it? You know, I'm just a normal guy who's interested in UFOs, paranormal, and various sort of things. So I took no notice of it. I just carried on. And then next morning, same again. I hit them quite a few times, and I thought, well, I'll go a different way completely. And there it was. Strange. And I thought, well, I didn't think no of it then. I just let go off my mind. And then, it was getting cold at night. And Tom always wanted to, likes open fires. And bloody, I couldn't get heating to work. So I called his sister. I said, Can you come down and show me how to do this eating again? I'm fed up of it. She came down about 5 o'clock at night. And I thought, right. I said, she always have to do this again. She said, this is what you do, Bob. I'm not right sure myself, she said. But she said, why don't you light fire as well? So I managed to light fire and everything. And I was having quite a good night, nice and warm. I like log fires as well. And it got to about 8 o'clock. And dog was going ballistic. I don't know why. And then I heard. And as you open the door, it's got a glass door. And then another glass door. And I put light on. I thought, oh, it's police. Definitely thought it was police. And I opened one door. I thought, there's two of them. And I opened the door and I thought, who the hell is these? Didn't think about it. And I opened the door and I thought, oh my God. So I said, what do you want? We've come to see you. You. And they looked, men in black, looked very, the skin didn't look real to me. Strange. Strange. I'd already, before that, sorry to tell you, but I put the dog in the backyard, out of way. It had gone ballistic. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, this is not real. Either I'm going bonkers or something's going strange in my life. And they're asking me these questions and they said, you know, what you've been seeing in the sky is not true, type thing. Yeah. And one of them just leaned over and said, we are watching you. And they both, like, they didn't seem together. They seemed to just turn together and walk away. So I slammed the door, thought, bloody hell, fire. So I ran upstairs and looked out at front window. Vanished, gone. Couldn't believe it. I thought, how can somebody? So I've taken, what, I don't know, 20 seconds. Get upstairs. There, round there, through window. Vanished. Couldn't see him anywhere. Couldn't see him anywhere. And I've just sat down, black dogging. I thought, was that real? Or am I imagining things? And I thought, bloody hell, fire. That's a bit strange, isn't it? And it got to about, I don't know, I was still working at a charity shop then. And I went to bed. I woke an hour later, unusually. Hot lights, the lights wouldn't come on. And his lights were in his cellar. He had a wine cellar, bloody wine cellar. So I had to go down these, and I mean, they were really steep steps. And I'm not very good on my legs. And I went down, I opened the board, and I thought, well, they look all right to me. Why is that all the lights in? Out in the building. So I'm switching up and down, so they all came back on. So I went back and I thought, that's strange. How come the lights went off all night? So I'm bewildered. I went and walked the dog, came back and I thought, well, I'm late for work, so I better go in. And then when I got in, I rang Paul and I went, I need to see you. So he came round straight away and said, something strange, isn't they? I said, why? He said, usually when people come in, well, you know, you always greet them in a nice way and have a chat with them. I said, I have something to tell you. I need to speak to you now. I said, I've had a visit from Men in Black last night. Like a true researcher, when he'd gone, he got in his car and went and knocked on all the doors up there and asked if anybody had got a video on. That's what I call a good researcher.
Yeah, and I suppose nobody did.
No, nobody.
Yeah, no. What a shame.
And it just, and then you think to yourself, why me?
Well, you know what I think, Bob, sometimes, you know, you've got these psychic abilities, you know, for want of a better word, could it be something that's been coming out of another dimension, and you know, that's why they disappear like that. So that's kind of way I think sometimes, because of your abilities.
I think in your consciousness, I think sometimes you can fetch things through.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I was trying to get at.
You know, when I spoke to Philip Kinsella before, and he's on the same line as me. Through your consciousness, you can fetch things through.
Yeah.
And I think, that might be possible. You know, what I'm seeing in this room sometimes appears, and then it's gone in a flash. I remember when I were in Shelley once, I was sat on my own, and I'm thinking, bloody hell, I'll never meet anybody, never go anywhere. Felt a bit down in dumps, and this will sound strange to you. Jesus came in front of me.
Hmm.
He disappeared, front. As though, you're never on your own, lad. I'm here.
Hmm.
You know, and it changed me completely. I thought, well, it's true. I'm never on my own.
Hmm.
I've always somebody with me. And I've spoke to other people who have said very similar things. But he's appeared. You know, and you think, and then you think, you know, sometimes you think about people dying. You say, why did Jesus let that person die?
Mm. Yeah.
Do you find sometimes you get that feeling where you've been here before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Third life.
I've had that several times where you go somewhere and think, yeah, I've been here before. It just looks familiar. But yes.
But also, actually, don't you think you've been reborn?
Yeah. I've had feelings of that as well, yeah. But that you seem to think, yeah. I've had thoughts where I can actually remember something. No, I think I drowned actually in my past life. Because when I was
you
a kid.
You find the water?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I didn't like water at all. You know, I'm not that fond of it now, really. I'll take a shower. But I used to have dreams about drowning, and I believe it was connected to maybe, well, I'm only assuming it was connected to my past life, you know.
I'm sure.
I've never really spoken about it much, but because you were talking about that, it sort of come back to me like that. And
Sure you have, and I'm sure the people you meet in this life, you have met in your previous lives.
Yeah, I believe that too. You do feel strong bonds with certain people, don't you?
Oh, of course you do, yeah, and you can trust them as well. You say, well, I can trust him. I know what he's like.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've always been interested in this. And a lot of people think that we've got part alien in DNA, Nils.
Hmm. Well,
I spoke to a few people about it. They said that's what they think anyway. Our part DNA is alien based. Yeah.
No, I think that's probably a possibility. Yeah.
Well, I think so because, you know, there's more out there now, and I think we're more involved with it now as well. I think there's more people coming out now and talking about visitations or aliens.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's not frowned or laughed about as much as it used to be.
No, yeah, well, it's so true as well. And I think it's a good thing. It's a positive thing now, I think.
Yeah. When you do your shows, do you get many people talking about aliens and... What's the majority of your shows? Because if you're doing it twice a week, well, I only do mine twice a month now, so...
Oh, yeah, I do it twice a week. This week I've got two mediums on this week.
Have you?
It's very rare. I interviewed... what did I have on?
I know what you mean. You lose track.
I forgot his bloody name now. James Marcel. Jesse Marcel.
All right, yeah.
Talked about Roswell.
Roswell, yeah.
Yeah, his grandson. I had him on last week.
Right.
Nice guy. Told me about what his granddad told him about there was aliens dead and some walking around and Because I asked him about, I said, do you think your granddad has got some of that metal hidden away somewhere? He said, well, we found a diary and it needs decoding. And we've had somebody doing it now, but they can't figure it out yet. They've got to put a new system together to try and decode it. He said, we're looking into that at the moment. They said, we just don't know.
Well, it would have to be a good hiding place because the Air Force, they tore that place apart, didn't they, looking for stuff?
Beginning, I don't know if you remember, he took a load of it home with him to show his family. Now, were they thinking at that time, because he took it all back then, did he take some out and hide it somewhere?
Like I think we would have done, wouldn't we, if it was you and me?
Well, I would. Yeah. But I think, right, first job is to get some and hide it somewhere, take it or give it a friend to hide somewhere so nobody knows where it is. And let's see if he can get some from it from later. Yeah, he was a nice guy. We talked about lots of different things. And he wants to, his sister wants to come on my show now. Them two was interviewed by Howard Hughes week before on his show on Sunday nights on Talk TV. And it just made me wonder then when I saw him getting interviewed, I thought, I'll ask Jesse to come on show. And I thought, oh, you've got no chance, Bob. He's not going to come on your show. I just texted him and went, yeah, of course we'll.
Yeah, no, it's surprising, you people, you just sort of you reach out to them and they say, yeah, sure, yeah, I've had several myself.
Nice people, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so I just want to carry on what we're doing now, basically, and let's see if something good comes out of it. You know, it's I think what you've got to do now when you go to Benton is go with an open mind.
Yeah.
I think you have to ask for things to turn up, just let them turn up.
Yeah, don't go with too much of an expectation. You're right.
Because you can do that anyway, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
we're always wanting it deep down. You're always thinking, I wish something would appear tonight. I wish a werewolf would appear or a light somewhere different would appear. I took a photo, must have been in summer, July or June, a few years ago when Gemma was at home, and we went up together, me, Gemma and Paul, and it was quite a few people up there. I said to Paul, what's that bird up there? He said, I think it's a falcon or something. And I looked over on the hill and I saw this black object, and I thought, let's take a photo of that. And I said to Paul, look at this. He went, it's gone, it's vanished. I went, you're joking. And it was a round object on the hill. Well, it wasn't round in total. It went over and round. And in 2 seconds, it disappeared. So Paul went, right, I'm off. Where you go? I said, I'm going right over there. Tell me to stop. Me and Jim are going to go over. I said, stop there. He went, no, yeah, nothing. And he looked round the corner, looked round the top. Nothing at all. Vanished. Oh, there were Mick Ganley there as well. And there were only me who took the photo up. Paul said, why don't you tell me? I said, well, it doesn't happen like that, does it? I'm taking a photo of the bird. And I saw this thing aside, so I thought I'd take a photo of that. I've still got a photo to this day. And I just think it's a portal that's just opened up. And I took the photo and it's gone.
Yeah, you're just lucky.
Yeah, well, I think I am, and Chris Turner always says to me, you seem to get some strange photos, you, Bob. And because he always says to me, every time you go up now, just keep taking photos. And I do.
Yeah.
I take them all round the place, and then when I get back home, I have a look then, I think. And I took a photo of Paul on the bird stand. Can't remember what it was. Darkish. Thought I'll just take a photo of him to say we've been up here. When I didn't realise until a week later, I'm looking through it on my camera, I said to Paul, what's that object there back of you? and we zoomed in, and it looks like a bloody UFO, a gold one, gold in colour. Anyway, I said, Paul said, can I have your LSD card out? I said, yeah. I said, I'll take it out now. You put it in your laptop and see if you can make it bigger. And it looks like a UFO.
But it wasn't visible at the time when you were taking the photo.
No, very small thing. Mm. And then when we enlarged it, it looks like a round. It looks round, but it's got structure to it.
Mm.
Gold in colour. But strange, isn't it, like that? When
it's like they've done it on purpose, isn't it? You know, like Paul's got his back to it, and they're thinking, right, here we are.
Yeah. So now, I sent it to Chris Turner. He went, bloody hell, how do you do it? I said, I don't. I just take photos.
Yeah. That's why I think it could be connected to your psychic abilities, Bob. You know, that's what leads me to think that.
Maybe, yeah. David, maybe. But I just...
Which makes you a good team member for Paul, because you're getting it from both aspects then, aren't you?
Oh, like, yeah.
Paul,
I think,
the serious researcher, but you've got you.
Yeah.
With a connection to the psychic side.
He's a great researcher, Paul.
Oh,
he looks into things deep and never gives in.
Yeah, I like Paul a lot. He's a great guy, yeah.
You know, if somebody rang him up and said, so-and-so, so-and-so was last night, he'd say, right, we're off tonight. We're up. Mm. We're going. Yeah. You know, we went to Dane's Dyke, hoping to see something, but somebody had seen a young lad who goes metal detecting. They've gone to Dane's, like, hoping to find coins, silver coins or whatever. Because don't forget, it dates back to the Doomsday a long time ago. And he's waiting at the bus stop because he ain't got a car, like, and he said, this strange dog appeared with massive eyes. And he said it looked like a human head on it. Just came out of Dane's Dyke and then went across the road and vanished.
Hmm.
He said, it's bonkers, he said. I just can't make head or tail. I thought I'd ring you up, Paul, and tell you.
Was that a joke? You can't make head or tail of it? Was that
all? I like that one. That's the point about, you know, something like that happens. They were good liars.
Hmm.
And he said, He said it was just strange dog. He said I couldn't get my head around it.
Mm.
And things happen in certain ways.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It just makes you wonder what, you know, when the base shut down, satanic people took it over for a while.
Yeah.
Do you think they opened something up there?
Yeah, it's possible. I know. During Paul's presentation, he's done a couple of times. He was talking about that, wasn't he?
Because he said a lad had gone down, and it looked like they had a calf down there cutting its throat.
Mm.
And then somebody else had gone down there and opened this box, and all the hoods were in it, and all the capes and everything. Did they open something up what shouldn't be around or not?
Yeah, always a possibility, Bob, isn't it?
Well, it makes you wonder, and somebody said that they've moved to somewhere at Other Scarborough, but I can't remember who it was, me, Steve Asbridge, and Paul gone up to Bempton one night, not way back, as we got down to White Horse, said to Paul, look at that lad there. He's got a strange hat on, pointed at, and a cape. I said, where's he come from? Are they having a meeting somewhere around here? And we just drove off. Didn't think, you know, I'll be back. I remember because I wrote it in my diary.
Mm.
And I thought, because by all accounts, everybody in the village knew about it, about up there, what was happening.
Hmm. Anyway, but before we pack in, do you want to give your radio show a plug?
Yes. I'm on Beacon of Light Radio. My show is called Over the Rainbow. And what airs every Wednesday and Friday, 8 o'clock UK time, 3 o'clock Eastern and 12 o'clock Pacific. I've got two psychic mediums on this week. Both very good psychic mediums as well. And I've got some really good guests on. Yeah, Jesse Marcel the Third. That's what I called him.
You can
had Alan to Fire on Wednesday last week.
Can you backtrack on your shows and get the older ones as well?
Yeah, Preston Denton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Stevie Andrews on this Wednesday. He's from London. He's a psychic medium. And Nikki Jacobs, she's a psychic medium from America.
Right.
So, you know, I'm always looking out for people to come on my show. So if anybody out there who wants to come on my show, just get in touch with me. You can email me at overtherainbow at... I'm just trying to think now. It's just strange, I forgot it. At gmail.com.
Right, okay.
Oh, I'll tell you what it is. It's overtherainbow1947 at gmail.com.
Right. Okay, I'll put it out again on our Paranormal Dimensions page anyway, Bob.
Thank you for that.
But also, anyone out there who wants to come on my show, just get in touch with me.
If you feel like you'd like to, I've been doing it all them years, I've got some great guests.
Yeah.
It'll be great on your show.
Yeah, send them my way, Bob, if you think
they'd like to
come on.
Oh, to do with paranormal, Bigfoot.
Yeah, anything like that. I mean, it's always welcome to. I mean, I've got quite a few lined up already for the rest of this year, almost anyway. But always looking for early next year and probably towards the end of this year as well.
Yeah, same here. I'm booked up till December now.
Always try to keep ahead.
And only got it through an agent. This woman said, "Hey, you have to go through my agent." Anyway, I got in touch with this agent. She said, "How many guests would you like? I've got 19.
Well, the thing is, you need to keep them pretty tight together because if you're doing two a week, I mean, I was doing one a week and that was a bit too much.
Right, it's bloody hard work.
Yeah,
it's hard work. Because somebody at last minute will say to you, "Sorry, can't do it tonight."
Yeah, that's right. I've had that several times. And then you're rushing around trying to find another guest, aren't you?
It's bloody hard work to try and get somebody.
Yeah.
So I don't like letting people down myself. But thank you, David. It's been wonderful talking to you.
It's been a great pleasure, Bob. And we'll see you again soon, I guess. I mean, I'm not sure when we'll meet again. Probably a bit of awakening in Manchester next year.
Yes. Yeah, that will be a good one, that one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But you never know. I mean, really, I'd like to come up your way and have a little sort of scout around the area.
I'm going to say Andrew Collins has been about three times now, four times.
Yeah, well, Andrew Collins actually lives down the road to me. He lives near me.
Oh!
And we're going to an event it was going to be October, but he's doing stuff on ancient aliens and stuff. So it's going to be in November now, I believe, early November. But he was going to come on this show, but because he's so busy with the ancient aliens, he's not been able to do it. He has been on the show once.
I've had him on a few times, Andrew.
Yeah, he's great. I really like Andrew.
I've got Andrew coming on. Can't bloody remember now.
He's fascinating, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. I've got Peter Robbins coming on in December as well.
Oh, I've got Peter coming on in December as well. What are we talking about? The same thing? I don't know, but it doesn't matter.
He's got loads. He's got lots of different things to talk about. Is Peter anyway? Haven't he?
Yeah.
Jimmy's all over America, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
At some conference or flying here, and I think, Well, good luck to you, lad.
Yeah, was he in Denver or somewhere just recently? Or was it
recently, down in Denver.
Roswell and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, he was, yeah, at a conference. And I thought, well, you can't knock him for doing that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because I think he's a smashing guy.
Yeah, after his recent visit here with Chrissy's Outer Limits conference, which
yes.
He's been waiting for a couple of years to come to, obviously.
Yeah, of course he has, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, thank you again.
No, it's been great having you on, Bob. It's been nice to talk to you, because we've not really had the chance to have a good conversation, but we've...
No, we haven't.
We've had a good chance to do that now.
Yeah,
and hopefully we'll do it again.
Oh, yeah, do it again sometime. Yeah, no problem.
That's great.
No problem. I'm going to say, have a nice time, rested day, but... It's half past nine now.
For anyone that's listening.
Well, we've done an hour and a half anyway, haven't we?
It's great, yeah. It's brilliant. Thank you, Bob.
That's good.
It's been fantastic talking to you. And
yeah, thank you, David, again. And keep in touch.
I will do. It's a great pleasure.
And if I get to know some really good guests, I'll put them your way.
Please do, yeah. And say hello to Paul and all the gang for me.
Oh, will do, yeah. No problem, yeah.
I'm sure Paul will have a listen and see what we've been saying about you.
Oh, I'm sure he will do. I'm sure he will do. But I think he's busy editing the documentary. He's doing a lot.
Yeah, the thing he's working on now. Yeah, I know. Yeah, and probably another book.
Well, he wanted to have a rest from it. He said,
I spent getting up at
5 o'clock in the morning and writing before Mary got up. And then I think, Nick phone rings and I do this and I do that.
Yeah, he's got quite a hectic life, hasn't he?
So he just said, all I'm doing at the moment is writing it on my computer in a folder, put it in my folder, and that's it.
Yeah, he's got quite a hectic life, I know. But no, he told me he's taking a rest from writing for a little while.
Phone never ever stops day in and day out.
Hmm.
The amount of people who gets in touch with him, and then Judith Broadbent, she writes for papers. She's writing an article about him at the moment, and I think it's coming out in the Next Echo. That comes out once a month.
Right.
So it'll be July. Where are we now? Bloody hell. August. August it'll be out.
Right.
And she'll write about him.
Well, hopefully we'll see it on Facebook.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'll put a photo of it on. But the point about it is, he said to me, why didn't you just say to me, write something for me, Paul? And he would have done. He'd have wrote something for her. So she's writing something. Well, she might even copy out of a book or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there's always that, I suppose.
Mm. And she, you know, and Paul would have wrote something up to date as well.
Mm.
What he's doing about his documentary, about what he's been doing. And but Simon, who's photographer at Echo, he's wrote a few articles on him. He's wrote an article about me on Echo as well. And he's a really nice guy with Simon. Simon, it'd have been better if Simon had said to Paul, write something for me and I'll put it in paper for you. Up to date.
Yeah. Anyway, we said goodbye and we started off again. So
Well, that's about right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. No, that's the way it should be.
Yes, thank you again, anyway.
No, you take care of yourself, Bob. And,
hey, you too.
And I'll see you
carry
soon.
Carry on the good work.
Watch out for that dodgy weather up there as well.
Oh, my God, I know. Yeah.
And those cliffs. Watch out for those cliffs.
Hey, bloody hell, I know. We'll be up Saturday night, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, well, you take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too as well.
I'll keep an eye on what's going on. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. It's been great.
Bye.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Bob Brown. Thank you very much again, Bob. That was very interesting. Now, in between now and the next show, I'll be going to an East Anglia Paranormal Investigations event, obviously here in the UK. And one of the people who run that is a lady named Vivian Powell, who's been on the show before. And Vivian Powell will actually be our next guest. So we will be relating, hopefully, what happened at the event. And also, Vivian's an investigator in her own right anyway. We'll be visiting Ashwell Prison and the Galleries of Justice in Nottingham. And we'll also be joined by Brian Kano and Richard Felix. I'm looking forward to that one, and I'll let you know what happens on the next show. But until then, thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you would like to get in touch with me, as always, my email address is davidyoung2qn@yahoo.co.uk. That's davidyoung2qn@yahoo.co.uk. I'm David Young. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves, and I'll speak to you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Where are you? Are you receiving me? I can't get back. I'm being held up.
Paranormal Dimensions is as bright and powerful as our celestial star, the Sun. And although it's expending thousands of pounds of energy every minute of the day, have no fear. There's plenty left.
Paranormal Dimensions is fortnightly on Mondays on the Paranormal UK Radio Network.